inside the courtroom with the Amish farmer. I obtained access to the courtroom under a press pass during the four-hour Amos Miller hearing on February 29th. Upcoming is an abbreviated summary of that four-hour hearing. None of the dialogue is verbatim, and I am not going to interject any of my personal opinion into this summary. However, I do invite you, the listener, to listen very closely to what you are about to hear, and feel free to offer in the comments your opinion. I have a one-on-one interview with Robert Barnes, Amos Miller's attorney, that I do plan to release tomorrow. So the hearing began at 1:30 p.m., and the tiny courtroom seated 35 people. It was immediately filled. Pennsylvania Judge Thomas B. Spinagle did not allow attendees to take notes during the hearing. Only members of the media were permitted to write notes and take them out of the courtroom. Sheriff's deputies stood at the door, requiring attendees to hand in all notes taken inside the courtroom before they could exit. Now, a court hearing is just that. The judge sets and hears both sides, and each side brings a set of witnesses and testimonies that they hope will persuade the judge to rule in their favor. A hearing is not a trial, and there is no jury present. The Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, which will from henceforth be abbreviated as the PDA, entered the courtroom with evidence and witnesses they hoped would persuade the judge to uphold the emergency injunction they placed on Miller's organic farms, an injunction that restricted Miller from distributing any freshly produced raw dairy products to his private members until Amos Miller had applied for a Pennsylvania raw dairy permit. Robert Barnes entered the courtroom on Miller's behalf with evidence he hoped would persuade the judge to revoke the emergency injunction until Miller had had a proper trial. The evidence Robert Barnes presented was on two fronts. That number one, by obtaining a raw dairy permit, Miller would actually be restricted in his rights. And the reason for this is because with a Pennsylvania raw dairy permit, raw dairy producers are only allowed to produce and sell three products: raw whole milk, raw yogurt, and raw hard cheese that had been aged for 60 plus days. By obtaining a permit, Miller would immediately be restricted from offering his private members his cream, his butter, his soft cheeses, his kefir, his raw colostrum, and more. Judge Thomas B. Spinagle entered the courtroom and immediately made the statement that he had taken the time to read the 330-plus affidavits filed by Miller's attorney, as well as letters from the public. He cited that he had a great amount of respect for what people believed, but that it was his job to interpret and uphold the law, not to redefine or change it. Judge Spinagle opened the hearing by asking if Miller had filed for a raw dairy permit, to which Barnes responded, "No, Your Honor, applying for such a permit would restrict my client's rights." At that point, the hearing began, and the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture called its witnesses to the stand. The first witness was Nicole Martz, the woman who led the January 4th search on Miller Organic Farms. Nicole Martz is the chief of food safety at the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture and led a team of seven as she searched Miller Organic Farms and collected 33 samples of various raw dairy products, several dozen photos of Amos Miller's farm, and gathered enough information to construct a complete diagram of Miller's organic farm facilities, which was then presented in court. Nicole Martz cited that she observed on-site uninspected milk tankers, employees bottling milk without gloves, a stirring spoon that touched the wall and the floor, boots with organic material on them, goat milk labeled for pet consumption but bottled as is consistent with human consumption, and more. After Nicole Martz offered testimony, Robert Barnes had the opportunity to ask her questions. Barnes asked, "Has anyone complained to the state of Pennsylvania regarding Amos Miller's food?" Martz answered, "No." Robert Barnes asked, "Has any of Amos Miller's food ever been recalled in the state of Pennsylvania?" Martz responded, "No." Barnes asked, "Was Miller excluded from the facility while the search warrant was being executed?" Martz answered, "No." Media was excluded. Barnes asked, "Did you tell Miller he was authorized to come in and observe the search warrant?" Martz responded, "No." This concluded Nicole Martz's time on the witness stand, and the second witness called to the stand was Sherry Morris, the woman responsible for signing the affidavit of probable cause, which was the basis for the search warrant. Sherry Morris has been with the PDA for 25 years and is assistant director at the Bureau of Food Safety. Sherry Morris cited that the job of the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture is to regulate all food in the Commonwealth, with exception of that which is regulated by the FDA. Sherry Morris said that the scope of the PDA's regulation includes the regulation of food sold at private buying clubs like Sam's Club, as well as regulating snack bars at private member-only clubs. The probable cause that Sherry Morris cited as grounds for the search warrant of Miller Organic Farms was, number one, a 2016 case of E. coli in Michigan that was tied to a patient who had previously been a customer of Amos Miller's. The second case was what Sherry Morris initially said was a complaint of E. coli out of New York State, but had to correct herself on the witness stand and cite that it was not a complaint, but rather a report, and that the patient did not want to offer any comments. Under Sherry Morris' oversight, the lab testing for the 33 samples that were collected from Miller's Organic Farms took place. The samples were tested for E. coli, Campylobacter, Salmonella, and Listeria. Remember that two cases of E. coli being the probable cause on which the search warrant was issued. The lab report returned no positive for E. coli, Campylobacter, or Salmonella. However, traces of Listeria were found in 8 of 33 samples. Robert Barnes began to question Sherry Morris, and as a reminder, the dialogue is not verbatim, but a summation from my short notes. Barnes asked, "Did the testing you performed on the dairy samples taken from Miller's Organic Farms return positive for E. coli?" Sherry Morris responded, "The tests did not come back positive." Robert Barnes asked, "Did the testing you performed on the dairy samples taken from Miller's Organic Farms return negative for E. coli?" Sherry Morris responded, "The tests were not positive, but they were not negative either. The results were inconclusive, but inconclusive does not mean negative." At that point in time, the courtroom filled with a faint murmuring of laughter from the audience. Robert Barnes asked, "Did you have these test results before January 24th? As a side note, January 24th was when the PDA officially sued Miller Organic Farms and put an injunction on his whole dairy operation. Sherry Morris responded, "There was no positive test result for E. coli, neither were they negative. There were only inconclusive results." Robert Barnes asks, "Has any customer of Miller's or any resident of Pennsylvania filed a complaint that they were ever injured or made ill by Amos Miller's food?" Sherry Morris responded, "No." There were two more witnesses for the PDA, but it generally followed the same course. However, every witness was asked by Robert Barnes before leaving the stand, "Have any of Miller's members or any resident of Pennsylvania ever filed a complaint that they were injured or made ill by Miller's food?" And every time the answer was no. After the PDA witnesses were finished, it was Barnes' turn to bring forward his witnesses on Miller's behalf, and he brought forth around 10. A majority of them were customers of Miller's who testified to the health benefits and safety of his food. But one of the expert witnesses brought forth by Miller's defense was Margaret Coleman, a medical microbiologist who formerly worked with the USDA. Now, Coleman is currently a bacteriologist and an expert in risk analysis for public health. Margaret Coleman independently reviewed the lab results on the 33 samples collected from Miller's Organic Farms. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to this next portion. 8 of the 33 samples from Miller's Organic Farms contained traces of Listeria according to the PDA's lab results. However, bacteriologist Margaret Coleman brought something to light with respect to the nature of Listeria. She cited that when it comes to Listeria, it is the quantity of microorganisms that typically leads to infection, not the presence of the bacteria alone. Coleman cited that according to a USDA study in 2003, typically no illness results until 10,000 Listeria organisms are present, with Canada citing up to a 100,000 microorganism limit. Barnes asked Coleman, "How many Listeria microorganisms were cited on the lab report from samples obtained from Miller's Organic Farms?" The PDA attorney immediately shouted, "Objection, no evidence present." The judge sustained that objection, and Robert Barnes responded, "No evidence provided." At that point in time, the judge looked very sternly at the PDA attorney and questioned why these particular lab reports were not provided to Miller's legal team in advance of the hearing. The PDA attorney responded that her team had prioritized collecting information for their defense and did not have the time to provide the reports to Barnes. The judge was visibly disgusted by this. Now, at this point in time, it was nearing 5 p.m., and the judge began to wrap the hearing up. He asked the question of Robert Barnes, does holding a raw dairy permit change the health profile or decrease the benefits of Miller's raw dairy products? To which Barnes responded along the lines of yes, because the permit would restrict Miller from offering a majority of the raw dairy products that his private members benefit from. The judge seemed at this point confused that a permit would actually limit a dairy producer, at which point the PDA attorney interjected and explained that under a permit, Miller can only sell milk, yogurt, and hard cheese that had been aged for 60 plus days. The judge then questioned, cannot Miller simply obtain a permit for these three products and continue offering the other products without a permit? And the PDA attorney responded, no. With a raw dairy permit, Miller would not be allowed to sell anything besides raw whole milk, yogurt, and hard cheese. At this point, the judge dismissed the public and privately convened with the attorneys to finish out the hearing. And the next day, Judge Thomas B. Spinagel upheld the injunction against Miller Organic Farms, which continues to this day to restrict Miller from selling his raw dairy products to his private members. Use the first link in the description of this podcast to subscribe to my newsletter. My primary means of staying in touch with you without regulation or censorship. I look forward to seeing you there.